Die Macht des Unterbewusstseins. Der Geist ist stärker als die Gene. Doch welche Auswirkungen hat das auf uns als Menschen? Die Antwort darauf hat nicht irgendwer, sondern der international renommierte Zellbiologe Dr. Bruce Lipton, heute zu Gast hier bei Welt im Wandel TV. Liebe Zuschauerinnen und Zuschauer, mein Name ist Dr. Heidi Wichmann. Vor kurzem war ich selbst Talkgast bei Welt im Wandel TV. Seit vielen Jahren beobachte ich die Arbeit von Dr. Bruce Lipton und ich freue mich sehr, heute dieses Gespräch mit ihm führen zu können. Der Einfachheit halber werden wir auf Englisch dieses Gespräch führen. So, Bruce, I'm very happy to welcome the stem cell biologist and best-selling author Dr. Bruce Lipton, who promotes the idea that genes can be manipulated by a person's belief. Your pioneering research on clone stem cells decades ago was leading into the new research field called epigenetics. Your books, The Biology of Belief, Spontaneous Evolution, and The Honeymoon Effect, explain the mechanisms how consciousness and perceptions control our health, our genetics, and even our life. So, first of all, Bruce, thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to talk to you.
Oh, I'm very honored to be here with you and so appreciate this chance to talk to the public about this very new science.
Yeah, so Bruce, your academic career was thriving. You've been at the Stanford University. You were publishing your research in highly prestigious journals like Science. You were living the dream of many scientists I know. Nevertheless, you decided to leave that field and teaching around the world the new biology and new science. So what did you observe during your research and what happened that made you decide to leave academia?
Well, I had the opportunity 50 years ago to work with stem cells. Now, stem cells, people hear about what stem cells, but stem cells are embryonic cells. And all of us have stem cells in our body for a simple reason. A human body is made out of 50 trillion cells. The cells are the living entity. When you say a human, I say, well, that's a community of 50 trillion cells. So when I say Bruce, it's not a single organism. It's a community of cells. Well, the relevance about that is every day we lose hundreds of billions of cells die normally. So just while we've been talking for the last couple of minutes, we probably lost a billion red blood cells that have died. And I said, well, if we're losing cells every day, billions of cells, we have to replace those cells, otherwise we would die. And this is why we have stem cells, which are embryonic cells in our body right now. So as the cells die, we replace them. So, for example, the skin cells are always being replaced. The blood cells are dying, as I said, every minute or two, a billion cells are dying. We have to replace them, and that's what the function of stem cells are. And it's very important for people to know that if they're alive and they're listening to us right now, they all have stem cells, because if you don't have stem cells, you can't stay alive.
Yeah, so our body is renewing every couple of months. So every single cell is changing and renewed.
Well, yes, I mean, most of the body turns over very quickly, like the digestive tract from the mouth to the anus. Every 3 days, the entire lining of cells, that's like a trillion cells, are replaced every 3 days.
Every 3 days, that's unimaginable for most people, right?
They don't understand, first of all, because they don't even see that they're made out of cells. They just see, oh, I'm a human, and I go, well, underneath your skin is 50 trillion cells. So we don't see it that way. But then from a biological point of view, it's like, well, we are a community of cells. And the significance is that the stem cells divide and they can replace skin, or stem cell could replace bone, or stem cell could become muscle, could become anything. And my research, and this was 50 years ago, is to put just one stem cell in a petri dish, and the cell divides every 10 hours. So first there's one cell, and 10 hours later there are two cells, and 10 hours later there are four cells. It keeps doubling. So in 1 week, I have 30,000 cells in the Petri dish. The most important fact is all of them are genetically identical. They all came from one parent. So I have 30,000 genetically identical cells. I split them into three different Petri dishes. So each dish has the genetically identical cells. And my research was to change the culture medium. That's what we grow cells in, a fluid. I said, but what's culture medium? That's the laboratory version of blood. So we synthesize in the lab culture medium, but it's based on the composition of blood. So when I grow human cells, I say, what's human blood made out of? And then in a laboratory, I try to create a version of that, add the chemistry, and then feed the cells with a culture medium. Because I'm making the culture medium, I can change some of the chemistry. So I create three different versions of culture medium, slightly different chemistry, three different ones. And remember, all the dishes have the genetically identical cells. But in each different culture dish, there was a different chemistry for culture medium. And in dish A, the cells form muscle. In a different culture medium in dish B, the cells form bone. And in the third dish with different culture medium, the cells form fat cells. Well, the question is, well, what controls the fate? Why should some be bone, muscle, or fat? It's not the genes. They all had the same genes. The thing that was different was the culture medium, the chemistry. And 50 years ago, I was teaching medical students, genes control life. Mm-hmm. But in the laboratory, I said, no, the control wasn't from the genes, it was from the environment. And my research took me in a completely different direction. And I started to work with changing the genes of the cells, not by changing the DNA, but by just changing the environment.
Well, as a scientist, I never heard anything about this during my time at the university, whether as a student, as a PhD student, or afterwards as a researcher. I had to find your science or your books through other people, not scientists, who told me about you and your work. The German title of your book, Biology of Belief, is Intelligent Cells.
Yes.
So I said, okay, Intelligent Cells, that sounds interesting. To date, it's not much better, despite the ecologist. As an ecologist, you know that the environment is affecting, for instance, your algae culture or something like that. What do you think is the reason why epigenetics, or first of all, could you explain to the people who never heard about epigenetics, what does that mean
Yes.
exactly? And what do you think is the reason why this knowledge is so suppressed? But that's my impression, that this is very suppressed in,
Yes.
in medicine.
Okay, number one, most everyone is programmed with a belief called genetics, which is the idea that genes control life.
Yeah, that's okay? What they taught, yeah.
So I say, in the classroom, we say genetic control, which means control by genes. The new science is called epigenetic. So when I say epigenetic control, it has a different meaning because epi means above. So when I say genetic control, control by genes. When I say epigenetic control, it means control above epi, control above the genes. And we say, well, what is above the genes that is controlling the genes? And the answer is the environment. So after 50 years, actually, I did this work in 1967 when I started. It was only in 1990 that the word epigenetics was official science. And this was a science that showed that genes do not control themselves. Genes are controlled by the environment. Well, you say, well, why are we having trouble getting this science out? And the answer is, and I'll be very honest, because I did research and I had funding from big agencies. I had lots of funding. The simple truth is this, that the science in the medical school is controlled by the pharmaceutical industry. Mm. And with the belief that drugs from the pharmaceutical industry control our lives than control the genes. And the fact is, no, it's not the drugs that control life. And you say, well, okay, my research was cells in a petri dish and changing the culture medium, and culture medium is equivalent of blood. Mm-hmm. I go, it does not make a difference if the cell is in a plastic petri dish or inside your body. So I joke and say, the body is a skin-covered petri dish, because inside I have 50 trillion cells and I have culture medium, the original culture medium, blood.
The best culture medium.
Yeah, we can only make a close approximation, but can't make real blood.
Real, really, yeah.
And I say, well, why is it relevant? Because I say, well, the cells have genes, but the genes are not controlling themselves. Genes are controlled by signals from the environment, the blood. So I say, oh, in the laboratory, I changed the chemistry of the blood in making culture medium. But in the human body, the natural culture medium is blood. And I go, yeah, but the chemistry of the blood is changed by the brain. So the brain adds hormones or emotional chemicals and adds them to the blood, so that the brain releases chemistry in the blood goes to the cells, and the cells respond to whether it's blood in the body or the equivalent of blood culture medium in the plastic dish. It doesn't make a difference for the cell, plastic dish, skin dish. And so basically, it says that the composition of our blood, which is the culture medium, is controlling the genes. Now, we must understand something, and this has been known for a long time. Since 1990, I remember an article, it said, when a gene is changing or a gene is activated, it's not the gene that makes a decision. A gene is a blueprint to make what are called the proteins of the body. We have 100,000 different proteins that make up our body. Those are the building blocks. The genes are blueprints to make the proteins. And the fact is, it is a blueprint. And you go, what do you mean? I go, look, you go to an architect's office. Mm-hmm. And the architect, she's working on a blueprint. And you ask her, is your blueprint on or off? Because we say genes go on and off, and they're blueprints. So you tell the architect, or you ask the architect, you say, is your blueprint on or off? And she looks at you and says, it's a blueprint. There's no on and off. I go, exactly. Genes cannot control their own activity. This is the most important scientific fact. Because when you understand that, you have to say, well, if the genes are not controlling themselves, what is controlling the genes? That's the new science, epigenetics, okay?
So it's up to the environmental signals if we are healthy or if we are sick?
Absolutely. It's how we see the environment, because okay, if I'm sitting here with you right now, my eyes are closed and I open my eyes and I see someone I love. The mind says love. Yeah. The brain releases chemistry that supports love. So when you're in love, you feel different, you're healthier, you're happier. I go, why? Because love causes chemistry from the brain to change the culture medium in the body. Yeah. And the chemistry from love gives us health. That's why when people fall in love, they say, oh, see how healthy they are. See how they glow. They're so healthy. And I go, yeah, because love chemistry is different than fear chemistry. Now, fear chemicals, like stress hormones, shut down the cells. So in love, you grow because the chemistry in the blood supports growth. But in fear, the chemistry of fear, stress hormones, they shut down the growth. And this is why we now recognize up to 90% of doctor visits are because of stress, fear. And I say, what? Well, how does that do that? I say, because when you're in fear and stress, the chemical from the brain, stress hormones, stop the cell from growing. And I say, what? But if we are dying every day, 100 billion cells, if you stop the growth, you will soon get very sick. And stress hormones shut off the immune system. And this is real in medical doctors. They give patients stress hormones if they're going to transplant an organ like a heart or a kidney or a lung. They give the recipient stress hormones. I say, why? Because when the stress hormones are in the blood, it shuts down the immune system so that when I put a foreign heart or a foreign kidney in the body, the person who is receiving that organ, the immune system will naturally try to eliminate the foreign mm-hmm. tissue. But if you give the patient stress hormones, then the immune system doesn't operate so well. And that means the organ will not be rejected. So we have an issue, and the issue is this. And it's a straight out, flat, scientific, no question. What controls the gene? The original story that everyone has been programmed. Oh, genes turn on, genes turn off, genes cause cancer. I go, this is completely false. And as I don't care where a scientist is right now in the world, this is a fact of science. Genes cannot control their own behavior. And so the idea is, what controls genes? Well, that's what I saw 50 years ago. It's the environment. And so I say, yeah, but the blood, which is the environment for the cells, the culture medium in your body, the chemistry of the blood is controlled by the mind. So when people go, the mind is controlling the genes, I go, yes. People heard about what you call placebo effect. Mm-hmm. So you're sick. And I say, oh, I'm a doctor, and I have this brand new drug. It's going to heal you. It's a special drug. And you're... oh, yes, a special drug. You believe this drug, and it's going to make you well. I give you the drug. You get better. And then later I say, it was just a sugar pill. So the drug didn't cure you. I say, then what made you well? The pill didn't make you well. It was sugar.
In fact, there are several washout phases during clinical studies
yes.
to eliminate the people who are very sensitive to the placebo effect.
Everyone, yeah. One-third of all healing in medicine is because of the belief yeah. in the medicine, the placebo effect. And people know that. And I say, and why is it important? Because placebo effect is the direct study to show the mind was controlling health, not the pill.
I just remember that phrase I once read from you, and this was at that time it was really challenging for me in my scientist mind. You said we are not the victims of our genes. We are programmed to believe we are the victims of our genes.
Right. Well, the chemistry of the mind is what goes into the blood culture medium, and as the research showed, it was the chemistry of the culture medium that controlled the genes. So the chemistry of your blood is controlling the genes. And if you have a belief that something positive, well, then you release chemistry to make a positive result. And people say placebo effect. And I go, yes, yes. But people don't understand this. It's not just positive belief that affects us. Yeah. Negative belief affects us too. But it is an opposite direction. A positive belief, placebo, can make healing. My mind healed me, not the sugar pill. But what most people don't know, and they must learn, is that a negative belief is equally powerful in controlling you, but it doesn't take you toward healing. It takes you toward disease. So a negative belief can cause any disease.
Even cancer?
And cancer. 90% of cancer is not connected to heredity. That means... these are people that came from a normal family, never had cancer, and then they get a cancer. I said, well, the genes cause that? And the answer is no. Genes do not cause cancer. Genes are what the word in English, correlated with cancer, meaning, yeah, it's associated with the cancer, but the gene itself did not cause the cancer. So many women are so afraid because the breast cancer gene, which we call BRCA1.
Angelina Jolie
had that in her family. Her mother died from breast cancer, her grandmother, and she had the same gene. So she says, I will remove my breast, a mastectomy, and that way I won't get the cancer because I don't have the breast. And I say, does the gene cause cancer? And the answer, no. And you say, how can you say that? And I go, because 50% of the women that have that gene never get the cancer. So I say, well, then having the gene itself did not cause the cancer. 50% of the women have the gene. They never get the cancer. So having a gene did not cause the cancer. But having a life with stress.
Like everybody.
Well,
we live in so stressful times. Just look outside the world. If you still follow the news, what I don't do anymore, it's stressing me too much. it's so stressful. And the reaction in the body is always the same. Can our bodies or our brain distinguish between it's real, real danger out there? You always talk about the saber-toothed tiger who's chasing us. And our body or brain cannot distinguish between, is there a real saber-toothed tiger, or do I just or only hate my job and my boss is stressing me out?
I'm not in love, which is a very big thing, because love brings the good chemistry. Yeah,
that's the solution, being in love.
And fear is the negative chemistry. And it's really important. The cells in my body cannot see what's going on in the world. They're inside my body. But they have to respond to what's going on. If there's a saber-toothed tiger, they have to make a response. I said, well, how does my liver cell inside know if there's a tiger or not? The only way it knows is because the brain said, tiger, and then releases the chemistry of stress. And that's how the liver cell knows. But the issue is the liver cell cannot see the real world. It only sees what your mind thinks is there. Mm-hmm. So is there a real tiger? Or only if you believe there's a tiger, the chemistry is the same. So the idea is our mind is creating a picture, and that picture is translated by the brain into chemistry. If the picture is a picture of love, you get a completely different chemistry than if the picture in your mind is, I'm afraid I could lose my job. I'm afraid I can get sick. I'm afraid of terrorists. The cells inside don't know if there's a real terrorist. They don't know what's real or not. They only know what the mind is telling them. Mm-hmm. And since the mind can be right or the mind can be wrong, the cells don't know which is the real
perception
one.
Of the world, right?
And this has to change. And yet, to me, this is very critical, because people say, oh, Bruce, your story about your mind. And I go, it's not a story. It's actual hard science.
There are actually tens of thousands scientific studies published in that field. And nobody's talking about that in medicine, especially in Germany. That's not that much, but yeah.
Because it's very simple, as I mentioned.
Yeah.
If I could let you know that your thoughts are creating your disease, and I said, well, look, you can change your thoughts and be healthy. Does the pharmaceutical company make any money?
No, you can't put it in
a pill. And the pharmaceutical company is one of the biggest corporations in the entire planet. They have trillions of dollars. And it's like, that's a business. And if it's a business and all of a sudden somebody comes up and says, well, you don't need all the pharmaceutical, that person is challenging the business. And with all the money, they say, no, we just flood the television with the ads. We get everybody to still believe, take this drug. It's going to help you. Like statin drugs. This is one of the big drugs on the world, statin drugs for cholesterol. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Only 3% of all the people that take statin drugs, this is a fact, only 3% are affected by the statin drug. 97% of people who are taking this drug, not for a week or 2 weeks or a month, for a lifetime, have no, the drug has no effect. 97%.
And there are so huge side effects. Which you have to buy more medicine to handle.
So in fact, here's the number. 3% have a positive, 3% have a positive effect from statins. Yeah. And I think it's 24% of the people have side effects.
Wow.
And the other big drug is like, Prozac, Paxil, the drug for depression.
Yeah.
It has been demonstrated in a lab by the pharmaceutical companies that those drugs are the equivalent of a placebo. And the fact is, they sell hundreds of billions of dollars of these drugs, and their own research, which in the United States, a researcher, Dr. Kirsch, in University in Connecticut, wanted to get the drug research studies. And he had to go to the U.S. government because we have what is called Freedom of Information Act. And so he applied to the government. He says, I want to know the results of these studies. And so the drug company had to release the data. And when they released the data, it showed that the drug had the same effect as the sugar pill. And you say, well, how come so many people believe in it and it works? And I said, remember the placebo? And you believe this drug is going to work? But Prozac and those drugs is a little even better than a regular placebo. The reason is this. If you take a sugar pill, it's just your mind thinking, okay, the drug is going to work. But when you take Prozac or Paxil, you get a side effect. You can feel in your body something's going on. That makes the placebo effect better because it's not just, I think it's going to work. When they take the drug, they say, oh, I feel something. That makes the mind work even better, saying, oh, I can feel the drug is working. The placebo works better because they can feel it. So the truth is they sell the Paxil. They sell all these drugs. They already know it's a placebo effect. Statin drugs, they already know that the side effects are, what, 8 times greater than the benefit effect. They know this. And it's like, are we telling the public? Nope. I say, why not? When a corporation is as big as pharmaceutical industry, they can manipulate the news. They manipulate the research.
Yeah, they have the power. They have.
And in fact, this is a very important fact.
Yeah.
The British Medical Journal published a study, and they said, looking at the same research, but they divided it into two groups. One group was funded by government money to do the research. Mm-hmm. The other group was funded by pharmaceutical money to do the same research. The results, when the money was coming from the pharmaceutical company, the results were 4 times more in the favor of the drug company than if the research was carried out by government money.
So are the scientists lying?
They're not lying, but they're, look, if I get a grant from the pharmaceutical company and it pays for my research, and I find that the drug doesn't work, do you think I want to go back and tell the company who gave me all the money and go, that drug didn't work? Because why? They won't give me any more money. So they look at the data and they pick, oh, look, there's some change here. This is a, let's tell the company about this change. But that's called, in the U.S. we say cherry picking. You pick the ones that you want, and then you report that. But the reality, and the British Medical Journal published this, the results were favored by who gave the money. Not that the researcher was lying, but the researcher said, I need something positive to give back to the company so they'll give me more money next year.
So there are also several studies who showed that chemotherapy has a positive effect. So I know that. I know that.
But well, let me give a simple fact about chemotherapy.
Yeah.
Let's say I don't have cancer.
Yeah.
And you give me chemotherapy.
No good idea.
If they give me chemotherapy and I don't have cancer, I will get sick.
Yeah.
Well, if a person's already sick and then you give them chemotherapy, they get sicker.
Yeah, back to the people. So we live in times where cancer rates are rising, neurodegenerative diseases are also on the rise. They are estimated to surpass cancer. In America, it already happened, and more women are affected. So when I am sick, what can I, as a person, do now that I know that I have the influence and the power to modulate my genes? For instance, is nutrition something important I have to be concerned about because I take a lot of chemicals also with the food inside as I bring it into my body? What are the things that I can do when I am sick and I said, okay, I don't want a chemotherapy, for instance?
Well, first thing is very simple. The amount of stress in the population matches the amount of illness.
Yeah.
As the stress goes up, the illness goes up. And so the first thing, there's a direct connection with stress. And as the American Psychological Association published the research, they said from 75 to 90% of visits to a doctor are because of stress. Nothing more than that. So we keep thinking, oh, genes are causing disease. Well, here's another scientific fact. Less than 1% of disease is caused by genes. Less than 1%. I go, then where's all the disease coming from? Stress. And in the world we live in today, you can't help but get stressed. You watch the TV, you read the newspaper, you go on the internet. Everything is about terrorists, climate change.
Fear.
Fear.
It's always like, fear, yeah.
When you read that, your fear is saying, I am not safe. And when you're not safe, that's when you put the stress hormones, like the tiger is chasing you. I'm not safe. I put the stress hormones in because I want to run and save my life. And so when you read these articles every day, it doesn't make your health any better.
No.
The chemistry of the stress, if I take the stress chemicals, stress hormones, and put them in a plastic petri dish with cells, the cells stop growing and they start dying. I go, well, it doesn't make a difference, as I said, whether the cell is in the plastic dish or the cell is in the skin dish. It's the chemistry of the culture medium that controls this. Now, scientists, this is another issue. If you invest your whole life into a belief and you do research on this belief and you believe, yes, see how my research proves my point? I go, yeah. And then somebody comes in and says, this is the wrong idea. The first thing everybody goes, no, look, I spend my whole life doing this research. This is not the first time science has been challenged. Like when quantum physics came in, there were only Newtonian physicists, which separated the world into energy and matter and said that matter, body, is not affected by energy, thoughts, because the Newtonian world, only physical things affect physical body. And medicine today is still Newtonian. I have a physical body, therefore you have to give me physical chemicals to change the body. That's Newtonian. Quantum physics, 1925, comes in and says, the whole idea is wrong. The whole idea is wrong because what we think of as matter, like you and me sitting here, is in truth just energy. And the physicists at that day said, my whole career, everything we learned is Newtonian physics. And now one day these young people come in and say, quantum physics? They could not accept that. They even made an idea that said, oh, quantum physics doesn't affect all of life. It just affects the atoms. And that way, then we don't, as a medical doctor, or we don't have to talk about quantum physics. It's like, come on. Scientists have known that the most valid science on this planet is quantum physics. And most valid point of quantum physics, which connects to our discussion, is that mind and consciousness is creating the world. That is built into quantum physics. That's not a biological point of view. That is the fundamental mechanisms of the universe. That's what quantum physics is. I go, why is it relevant? Since 1925, the physicists said, your mind, your consciousness is creating this world that we're experiencing. And most people go, well, that sounds like a weird idea. Well, that's why quantum physics was weird. Except quantum physics is more valid than any other science. And so I used in my lecture a paper from Nature. That's the most prestigious scientific journal on this planet. And it was from a professor of physics at Johns Hopkins University in the United States, a big university. And the article is called The Mental Universe. And the last sentence in the article said, the universe is immaterial. That meaning the universe is not physical. The universe is immaterial energy. So he says, the universe is immaterial. It's mental and spiritual. Live and enjoy. That is the final words of the physicist in today's world of science in the major journal of science on this planet. I said, well, do you want to believe that? And I said, that's not your choice. It's not whether you want to believe quantum physics. Quantum physics is the most valid science that we have. So when are people going to wake up and say, what did quantum physics say? Your mind is creating this. I go, the new biology, epigenetics, is the mechanism by which the mind creates the physical reality. So the new epigenetics is exactly the same story as quantum physics. And quantum physics being more valid than any other science, You can't reject that if you don't like the idea. That's not a choice. I can't say, which one do I want, Newtonian or quantum? That's not my choice.
Atoms are not particles. They are nanotornadoes. That's what you always said. And that was something I never heard before.
Oh, yeah.
So, but important to understand, because a particle you can somehow see and separate, but energy is everywhere. An energy tornado is, everything is energy then. So yeah. We talk a lot about the power of your subconscious mind or of the subconscious mind. So we are all programmed during the first 7 years, mostly. And we have our belief systems, which are manipulating us. And
yes.
Which is also leading to disease or health.
You believe you can get cancer? If you believe you can get cancer, you can get cancer. Because the chemistry of that belief will make your body express cancer. What I emphasize in the culture, I mean, and what I emphasize in the lecture, is that our belief is controlling the chemistry, and the chemistry matches the belief. So if I have a fear of cancer, then the chemistry I'm going to be releasing matches the picture of cancer. And my fear can generate any disease. Fear can cause you to die. They always say, fear, you can die with fear. I go, that's not a joke, that's reality.
I'm really concerned about the pesticides in the environment due to my own experience.
Yes.
Another story. But do you think that this is also something we have to be concerned about? Is because the number of chemicals are rising and they also can affect our health? Or the quality of our food, it's very nutrient depleted and things like that.
Here's a very important point. If your consciousness is weak, you don't have strong consciousness, then things can affect you all around because we are programmed. Oh, you know, this chemical is good, is bad, it's toxic, it can kill you. Yeah. Oh, fire can burn you. I go, oh, and what about the people who walk across the hot coals? And I go, you can only walk across the hot coals if you believe you can walk across the hot coals. If you start walking across the coals and then you say, can I do this? The moment you question, you will get burned instantly. And so walking across fire is a mental process, consciousness. Well, that's what physics said. The reality is consciousness. Do you believe you're going to get burned? Well, then you're going to get burned. And about the chemistry, this is very, very interesting. In the U.S., in the south of the U.S., there are fundamentalist religious people. They work themselves up into religious ecstasy. They start speaking tongues, they say. Some funny words come out. And many of them are called snake handlers. They handle poisonous snakes. And the poisonous snakes, if they bite them, there's no effect.
Yeah.
But they call it testify in the U.S. Testify means you do something no normal person would ever imagine doing, but you do it because you know, without question, God will protect you. That's testifying. I'll handle a poisonous snake because I know God will protect me. And then they don't get poison from the snake. Or it's the same as, I know I can walk across the hot coals, okay? But here's the point. Some of them testify, meaning they show God how powerful God is. They drink strychnine poison in toxic doses. Strychnine poison. But in the belief that God protects them, they drink that poison and they have no harmful effects. The point is very simple. If you have such a strong belief, even that poison won't affect you. Well, if you can drink strychnine poison, then what's eating sugar? What's the problem of something in the atmosphere around you?
No, you're right.
But you have to have a very strong belief, because if you have a moment of doubt, just like I said, walk across the fire, you have one moment of doubt, you're going to get burned. If you drink strychnine poison and you have one moment of doubt, you're going to die from the poison.
So I need to become a Buddhist monk and meditate all day to get to that level?
We have to change the belief, because what belief did we grow up with? Yeah. We grow up with the belief, oh, a human is weak. A human is vulnerable.
You are not worthy, or things like
viruses,
that.
Viruses, bacteria, parasites. Oh, we're so weak that, oh, protect me.
Everything like, wants to kill me.
Exactly. Yeah. And if you believe that, then you live in fear and you lose your power.
Yeah.
And so the simple reality is this. We are so powerful, and yet we don't believe it.
But if we are in fear, we give away our power, and so the governments can, yeah, lead us easier.
Well, the government, which is mainly run by corporations,
yeah.
is not run by people.
No.
It is what corporations want.
Yeah.
Like in the United States, which irritates me, they made a survey of the public. How many people in the U.S. want to have a law that before you buy a gun, you have to, you know, have a background check. Are you a sane, healthy person? 95% of Americans said, yes, we want to have background check. And the government voted against it. I said, well, then who's the government representing? It's not representing the people. It's representing the industrial military complex. They sell the guns. So they had more money, and the government represents them. It doesn't represent us.
It's the same in Germany. It's, I think, everywhere on this planet, or mostly this problem.
So, and it's very important. It's very important to know the idea that we have been programmed as children. And that this program controls our life. This isn't a new idea. 400 years, the Jesuits have a saying, give me a child until it's 7, and I will show you the man. What they were saying is, if I get the program the first 7 years, I control the outcome of your life. That's what they were saying. That's what the quote means. And people didn't understand what they were saying. Give me a child until 7. That's the period of program. And so whatever program you got before 7, that's the program in the subconscious mind. And that, from the neuroscientists now know, 95% of your life is coming from the program in the subconscious mind.
95%.
95% is from the program. So if I got a program that, most people get a program, when you're sick, it's not you that makes you well, the doctor. Because when you're a child, when somebody is sick, oh, we have to go to the doctor. And so daddy's sick, daddy goes to the doctor. You're sick, you go to the doctor. I say, so what does a child learn? And the child learns, oh, if I'm sick, I don't take care of myself. I go to the doctor.
And he gives me a pill.
Yeah, and the joke, here's the funny joke. Nobody said what the doctor had to do. All they said is you have to go to the doctor. Mm-hmm. And what's the joke? How many people get better as they drive to the doctor or sitting in the doctor's waiting room? All of a sudden they go, I don't feel so bad. And the answer is, because you made the rule, first go to the doctor before I heal myself. So when you go to the doctor, then you can start to heal yourself. You could heal your... Look, there was healing of people in this world 1,000 years, 2,000, 3,000 years before medical school. How do people heal themselves? Energy, thought, hands-on healing. It was all energy and consciousness before medical school. Once they had medical doctors, then, oh, healing, you can't do your healing. You have to go to the special person. Well, that's a belief. And the reality is, who heals you? You heal yourself. So, that's how you do it.
So what does that mean for us as humans in this society? When we are that powerful, what can we do to make this world a better place? Live a meaningful life, which is, I think, the most important, that we express our true feelings and what we are really interested about.
Right, but it's hard because if 95, a subconscious is like a tape recorder.
Yeah.
You have experience, you learn it, you push the button, it plays the experience over again. The subconscious isn't bad. I mean, as I mentioned in the lecture, listen, when did you learn how to walk? Before you were 2.
Yeah.
I say, did you have to relearn how to walk? I go, no, it's a habit. It's subconscious. So I say, oh, I'm glad I have a subconscious mind, because Every day when I wake up, I don't have to learn how to walk again. Once I learn, I learned. Okay, it's a habit now. So I said, well, there are very good habits, but some habits are very bad. And when you have a habit, it will repeat itself and repeat itself until you change the habit.
How can we change them?
Ah, well, that's another problem. Because at some time we think there's only one mind. I say, no, there's two minds. The conscious mind and the subconscious mind. They're very different and they learn in different ways. The conscious mind is connected to your spirituality. Who you are is a unique person. The conscious mind is creative. That's why humans are different than lower animals. We have a conscious mind that has imagination and can create ideas, okay? The subconscious mind is just like a record playback. Record the experience, push the button, play the experience over and over again, okay? And the issue about that is we think we are creating our lives with our conscious mind, which has wishes and desires. But neuroscience says, no, only 5% of your life is coming from creative conscious mind. 95% of your life comes from the program that we got before 7. And this is why the Jesuits would say, give me the child for 7 years, I'll show you the man. Why? Because whatever I taught you in that 7 years, 95% of your life comes from that belief. And so what we're finding out is your life is not, you're not creating your life with your wishes and desires. You're creating your life with the program.
So when you observed these things during research, and I think this was really mind-blowing for you, have you been able to implement this knowledge into your life immediately?
No. No, that was because when I saw the mechanism, I was a scientist, I'm observing, I'm going, oh my goodness, the environment is controlling the genes. And then I said, well, if you make a great environment, you'll have healthy cells. And I said, on a scientific level, this makes sense. So I wanted people to hear my story. I said, come, let me tell you about this new science, because if you understand this new science, it's very powerful. You can create a wonderful life. So they would come in and I would talk and say, oh, if you understand this, you can create a beautiful life. But they would look at me and they go, Bruce, your story doesn't match your life. Your life doesn't look so good. And you say you have this good knowledge. And I realized that's when the problem was. It's like, oh, my conscious creative mind understood the story, but my subconscious mind did not change. Just because my conscious mind had a new idea, I still had the same old programs. So my life stayed the same, but my consciousness was now educated, but my subconscious had the same program. So I realized, oh my goodness, I'm talking a story, but I'm not walking a story. And I said, oh, I can't give this lecture anymore until I make my life conform to the story.
What have you done? And how long did that take?
Well, at first it was a bit of time, because I said the conscious mind being creative can learn in many different ways. Just listening to our conversation, a conscious mind could go, oh, that sounds really good. And the conscious mind could say, okay, I believe it. I could read the self-help book.
Reading self-help books. I read lots of them.
That's always the joke that I say. People say, how many read self-help book? And every hand goes up. Yeah. And I said, and how many your lives changed after you read the book? And the hands go back down.
So I'm a big fan of the emotional freedom technique from Jessica and Nick Ortner. You know them. EFT tapping.
Yes.
So
that's
one possibility to change your subconscious.
There are many different possibilities to change, but you have to do something special. Not reading the book. That educates the conscious mind. The habit mind, subconscious. Think about it. If you have a habit, you don't want it to change. I learned how to walk when I was 2. Do you think I want to wake up one day and forget how to walk?
No.
No. So habits resist change.
Yeah.
So if you can change the conscious mind, just go, ah, I have a new idea. I changed my conscious mind. It doesn't change subconscious, because subconscious resists change. So I said, oh, you have to use a special process to teach the subconscious mind. I go, yeah. The subconscious mind, first 7 years, how did we get all those programs? And that is the brain of a child in the first 7 years is not in consciousness. When you put wires on a person's head, EEG, electroencephalograph, you read the brain activity. If you read the brain activity of a child under 7, the brain is not operating in consciousness. That's a higher vibration. They're operating in a lower vibration called theta. Theta is imagination. And this is why kids under 7 can mix the real world and the imaginary world as one. So a child is riding a broom, it says it's a horse. At that moment, to the child, it's not a broom. At that moment, it's a live, breathing horse, and they're riding the horse. And the mother says, give me the broom, and the child's like, what are you talking about? This is a horse. That's imagination. A tea party with no tea, that's imagination. Okay? So the first 7 years, theta, imagination, theta is also hypnosis.
Hypnosis.
And that's why whatever the parents are saying, whatever the family is saying, whatever the community is saying, a child under 7 is in hypnosis. It's learning by just hearing, just watching. It's like a recording camera. Whatever it hears, it sees. Subconscious, subconscious.
So hypnosis is one tool for the adult brain to recalibrate?
That's how it learned in the first place. You want to change it, you go through hypnosis, because hypnosis shuts off the conscious mind and opens up the subconscious. So whatever program I'm hearing when I'm in hypnosis is not going into conscious mind, it's going deeper into subconscious. So one way of changing subconscious is hypnosis. You don't even have to see a hypnotherapist, because the vibration of theta is below consciousness vibration, let's say alpha.
Yeah.
And when
the brain waves.
When you go to the brain waves.
Yeah.
And when you go to bed, the moment you go like unconscious, you shut off consciousness, but the next part of your brain is still in theta. So that means even though your consciousness is sleeping, the brain is in hypnosis. So if you put the earphones on and you play a program of what you want, you know, you want to be healthy, you want to have love, whatever it is you want. When you're going to sleep and you put the earphones on, as soon as the consciousness shuts off, now you're in theta. Theta is hypnosis. So your consciousness doesn't hear the program, but the program goes straight down into subconscious. So that's self-hypnosis.
So that's something that you do?
Oh, absolutely. I did that in the very beginning.
In the very beginning.
Yeah, I'd put on the earphones at night to go to sleep, and it changed my life.
It worked, obviously.
Oh, well, that's why they sell these programs in the bookstores, change your belief programs, and that's how they work.
So when I'm new to that field and I've never heard about something like this, like many viewers of this talk right now, is there a webpage or something I can have a look at to get an impression what kind of techniques are existing?
Oh, yeah, because in addition to hypnosis, I want to add, because there's two more things. Hypnosis works between 0 and 7.
Yeah.
After age 7, consciousness is the new higher vibration, alpha. That's the waves. It's higher than theta. So after age 7, you're not in hypnosis, okay? But you can still make a habit. I say, how do you make a habit? I say, you repeat something over and over again. Practice. You repeat it. Mm-hmm. So I say, well, then another way of changing subconscious is repetition. Do something, say something, and repeat it and repeat it and repeat it. And at some point, it becomes a program in the subconscious and a new habit. I like it because there's a funny phrase that they use. They say, fake it till you make it. Meaning, if you're not a happy person and you want to be happy, fake it. Pretend I'm happy. I'm happy. I'm happy. You keep saying it. I say, why? Repetition is how the subconscious learns. How did you learn anything like riding a bicycle, driving a car? You had to practice. The more you repeated it, the easier it was able to do it. So if I keep saying, I am happy, even if I'm not, I keep saying I am happy, my subconscious learns from repetition. And at some point when the program, I am happy, is in the subconscious, you don't even have to think about it, because the subconscious controls 95%. So if 95% of the day the program, I am happy, is playing, then you're automatically happy without even saying it. So the first phase is hypnosis. After age 7 is repetition, practice. And now there's something brand new, and this is the one I wanted to get to, is called energy psychology.
Yeah.
These are modalities that encourage what is called super learning. They go, super learning? I go, what is one thing people may have seen that super learners can do is when they read a book, they don't read the words like this. They take the finger and go down the page. And as fast as the finger went down the page, they read all the words. So they can stand in a bookstore, turn the page, and they can read an entire book in 10 minutes. I said, if you can use that ability, super learning ability, and use that to change the subconscious, then you can change a subconscious program, not in days and weeks like hypnosis and repetition. You can change a subconscious program 5-10 minutes with super learning. And my website, and this is what I wanted to get to, my website, simple, brucelipton.com, has under resources about 30 different energy psychology processes, including EFT. These are new ways of rapidly changing the subconscious programs. We need to do this now because civilization is in a lot of trouble. Civilization is causing what scientists recognize as the sixth mass extinction of life on this planet. The point is, five times in the history of this planet, life was thriving, and then something happened, and from 70 to 90% of all life disappeared. So, for example, there were dinosaurs here, and they believe a comet hit the Earth, and it changed the environment, and the dinosaurs disappeared overnight. Well, that was the fifth mass extinction. Today, we are losing species of organisms faster than ever before. In 1970, they took a survey. How many animals on planet Earth? They did the survey again very recently. Two-thirds of that population have disappeared. We only have one-third the number of animals that were here in 1970. We only have one-third.
We just recently had a study last week in Germany who showed that 75% of the insects are...
That was just the other day. Brand new.
Brand new, yeah.
Again, that's three-quarters of the insects. And you say, so who needs insects? I say, you can't have agriculture if you don't have insects.
Right.
And so when you lose the bees and the insects, you lose the ability to make food. So it's a bigger problem than just insects disappearing. It changes agriculture. And so two-thirds of the animals are disappearing. Three-quarters of the insects in Germany are disappearing right now. They already know that. They say the fish in the ocean, 2048, that's not very far from now.
I don't believe that. So I'm a marine biologist as well. And I just ask myself, who said that? No, we can't estimate the power. For instance, the tornadoes, this is also impacting the ocean, which nobody is thinking about. It will never take until 2048.
It'd be faster.
Never, never. We have to act right now. So one last question, dear Bruce. What's your advice to the people out there who want... Just like me, I'm very passionate about environmental protection and the ocean especially. Whales, the big role of whales in the environment is so heavily underestimated.
Yeah.
What can we do to make this world a better place? What is your advice?
My advice is simply this. Before the civilization we have now, 10,000 years ago, there were people on this planet. In Europe, they call them the Druids. In the United States, we have the Indians. In Australia, we have the Aboriginals. These are the indigenous people.
They always
saw the earth as a garden, and they always said they were gardeners to take care of the earth and be a gardener. And we had left that go. We think, oh, we can dominate nature. That's our belief system. I say, and how are we doing with that? And as we just said, our human behavior is destroying the ecology. And when you destroy the ecology, you destroy life. And that's why we're facing our own extinction. And I say, well, what do you want to do? I say, go back to the belief of the indigenous people and treat this nature as a garden and stop destroying the garden. Because when the garden is gone, so are we. And this is what we have to wake up to. So I say, we have to learn to live in harmony with nature, not to dominate nature, because in dominating nature, we're the ones that are destroying it. And that's why humans are the cause of the extinction that we are facing right now. The sixth extinction is due to human behavior. So you want to stop the extinction? Then we have to change our behavior as fast as we can, because the behavior now is to destroy the garden.
And especially what we consume. Yeah. Which company do we support with our money or with our lifetime because we work for them or not? Right?
Money is a vote.
Yeah.
If you put your money into Monsanto, you're voting for Monsanto.
Right.
And they are one of the biggest destroyers of the planet.
The biggest destroyers, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And so the idea is that we have to put our money into those corporations that are called conscious corporations, that are giving harmony to the workers, providing harmony to the world. We find those corporations that are bio corporations, organic. We have to return back to natural, because the man-made reality is what is destroying not just the ecosystem, but our own internal ecosystem, our biology. And so we have to recognize it's our behavior that has to change, not wait for the world to change.
No, it's me. It's always me.
And the beautiful part about it, as I can say, because when I saw this years ago, and then I said, I must apply this new knowledge. I haven't had a doctor since 1980, 1970. No doctor, no pharmaceutical drugs. Eating natural food, enjoying your life, living in love, living in harmony, being social, forming community. These are the practices that bring health and harmony back. Okay? And here's a simple truth from my perspective.
Mm-hmm.
The idea is some people say, oh, if you have a good life and then you die, you can go to heaven. I have a different vision. I say we are born into heaven. We came here to create, and we are, except we're not creating with our wishes and our desires. We're creating with a program that other people gave us. Those programs are toxic. If you let go of those programs and start living with peace and harmony, you consume less. You're in love more. Happiness is every day you wake up. And so I said we've been programmed. So in conclusion, very simple. There's a famous movie called The Matrix. And it's a movie, they say science fiction. I go, no, it's the documentary. Every human has been programmed. That's a fact of life. First 7 years is programmed. But in the movie, they say, if you take a red pill, you get out of the program. And I say, oh, in our world, people have taken this red pill. They didn't know it. It was called falling in love. Really? No, why? Listen, simple. Your life could be blah, blah, blah every day, blah, blah, blah. And then you meet a special person.
Yeah.
You fall in love overnight. The next day, life is beautiful. Oh, I love my life. Oh, it's so, the nature's so pretty. Everything's so beautiful. I say, look, your whole life was blah, blah, blah. 24 hours later, it's like heaven on earth. I go, because we now know from science, when you fall in love like that, you stop playing the program and you start creating from conscious wishes and desires. I say, the moment you stop playing the program overnight, and then the next day you wake up with wishes and desires, what did you create? Heaven on earth. I say, that was natural all of the time, except for the fact that when we're not in love like that, we are playing the program, and those programs take away our life, our energy, our happiness.
So it's up to us to take the red pill and
take that red pill. Be in love.
Yeah,
and it doesn't have to be in love with a person.
No, but in love and life.
Like a gardener. A gardener puts their hands in the dirt and they feel so happy and they're living a very happy life. An artist is painting something. They're in happiness and joy. So love doesn't mean it has to be with another person. It has to be with something that when you do it, when you're being it, it gives you joy.
Yeah, being
because
in joy.
That
yeah.
joy is and chemistry.
Enjoy
enjoying.
Yeah.
And chemistry of joy is chemistry of health.
Beautiful.
And that's why people, when they're in love, they're so healthy.
Bruce, Thank you so much. I could spend hours with you, but we don't have the time.
I would really love people to know, because just think, just imagination. One day we wake up and everybody is in love this one day.
Perfect. It's heaven on earth.
It is heaven on earth, not just for individual, but for everyone.
Yeah.
And I said, that's a possibility. There's no reason why we can't have that except for the program. So I say, let's wake up.
And everybody who's in love is not harming the environment or animals or other people, because you are happy and you are loved. Yeah. Right. So thank you, Bruce, so much.
Thank you for letting me speak to this audience.
Always.
Thank you.
Thank you.